Hello, my fellow ortho enthusiasts, and welcome to the Seaview Ortho Podcast, where we cover everything orthopedics to get you back to quality living. I am your host, Layla Jabbar, and you are joining us for Season 2, Episode 9. As always, this podcast is for informational purposes only. It should not be considered medical advice. Each individual and medical case is unique, so we strongly encourage all listeners to consult with a qualified healthcare professional for any personal medical concerns or decisions. The views and opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views, positions, or policies of Seaview Orthopedics. Today, we are diving into something that touches the lives of an estimated 208 million women each year worldwide. But it's not always talked about through an orthopedic lens. It's pregnancy. So lock in for this episode as we go from baby bump to body aches, unpacking the physical changes that come with carrying a baby and how those changes affect your bones, joints, and posture. And for the listeners who cannot see me, this episode could not come at a better time as I am 8 months pregnant. joining me first is Dr. Daniel Skura, a non-operative sports medicine physician with Seaview Orthopedics. Through his extensive training, Dr. Skura can address musculoskeletal complaints from head to toe, offering various modalities of treatment. Also with us is Dr. Catherine Bonner, a board-certified OBGYN with a Women's Place in Little Silver, New Jersey. She brings that essential perspective on hormonal changes and whole-body wellness through pregnancy and postpartum. She's also a certified lactation consultant. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. All right. So let's start by setting the stage. Pregnancy doesn't just change your belly size. Well, that is a big part of it. It changes your hormones, your posture, your joints, basically the entire biomechanical machine that is our human body. So let's talk hormones. I thought relaxing sounded lovely when I first heard it, but it definitely has caused some changes for me. So Dr. Bonner, what is the hormone and what does it do?
Yeah. So relaxing is produced by couple spots in the body, like the corpus luteum, which is in the ovary, and also the placenta in the pregnancy. It actually peaks in the first trimester, and it does cause a little bit of joint laxity, in addition to other things that it should be doing. Like it helps to increase cardiac output, and it helps to relax the myometrium, which is the muscle of the uterus. So it does other things, but it does play a part into why there can be stress on different joints and the whole skeletal system in the pregnancy.
That's awesome. I did not know that it was peaked in first trimester. Also, I feel like they were kind of lazy naming that hormone. But there are other hormones that have effect on these, you know, joints and muscles too, right?
Yeah. So progesterone, estrogen, those are really high in pregnancy. And those probably have more of an effect on the joints later on in the pregnancy, just because that relaxin is actually peaking in the first trimester. So everything's playing a little bit of a part, but it's not all relaxin. It's a little bit of everything.
The cocktail that makes up pregnancy. So we're seeing looser joints, more instability. And Dr. Skura, from your point of view, what kind of chain reaction does that set off orthopedically?
So, yeah, I mean, in addition to just affecting, you know, the parts that are involved in pregnancy and labor and preparing for like the stage of the fetus and all that stuff, it affects, you know, all of the joints in your body. And like primarily we see like increase in like ligament laxity, right? So ankle sprains and like tendon strain. So it's very common for someone who's pregnant to kind of like roll their ankle that may not necessarily cause them injury pre-pregnancy. So like now maybe have like a low grade ankle sprain and some tenderness there. But beyond that, probably one of the more complaints is low back pain. So the one that I see the most commonly is in the sacroiliac joint, the SI joint. So pretty much like where your sacrum meets your pelvis, there's a very small joint there that isn't really supposed to move much. It kind of like articulates a little bit as you walk. But as you're, you know, as these like hormones take effect and like your pelvis kind of widens, that joint kind of widens as well. And there's like kind of more space there to have pain essentially. So that's like one of like the more common places we see it affecting us.
What an unfortunate thing. You've never sprained an ankle in your life, but you get pregnant.
Yeah.
You just might. Just kidding, guys. It's beautiful. So I've officially entered waddling stage. Dr. Bonner, do you have a lot of patients that talk to you about this when it happens, why it happens, what to do?
in terms of the waddling, I feel like people just kind of accept that, that that's just part of how you need to move your body at the end of pregnancy. And that's really just because of the center of gravity that shifted. Your strides can be shorter. Your pelvis is open a little bit more. So it's on purpose to keep that your body upright. So I think that's more accepted by people. But in terms of like the low back pain, like the SI pain, that is something that mostly everyone talks about. I think like the literature says like 70% of patients have low back pain, but honestly, I would say it's 100%. Every single person
has.
Yeah, it's just at some point in their pregnancy, and it's going to increase as the pregnancy increases. I mean, you know, this gestational age. But I would say every single one of my patients will get low back pain.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it definitely didn't trigger for me until probably, I'm sure it's different for everybody based on a number of factors, but for me, it was like third trimester hit and it was immediate. I was like, oh, that's what everyone was talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. For patients who've either dealt with low back pain in their past or had it in another pregnancy, it'll start to show up a little bit earlier or be a little bit more intense. So people tend to expect it a little bit.
And Dr. Skura, if someone was dealing with like SI joint pain before, then they're obviously probably more likely to have it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know kind of like what the data is on it, but just what I've seen, you know, patient-wise, and I'm sure Dr. Bonner, you've probably seen something similar. Like once that joint kind of starts to move a little bit pre-pregnancy and now things are just like amplified during pregnancy, I would probably put my money on it that if you had pain beforehand, you'll probably have pain during.
How lovely.
Yeah.
So Dr. Skura, from like your altered gait due to whether, you know, you're just gaining weight or whatever with the pregnancy, the center of gravity shifting, can anything happen during or after your pregnancy from this altered gait?
Yeah. So anytime you affect biomechanics, like whether it's your gait, your stride, the way you move your arms, like if you have shoulder pain, you're moving your arm weird, all the muscles that normally like to move one way and they're not moving that way anymore, they get all irritated and it causes you pain, right? So anytime you alter your gait, whether you know, whether it's because of pregnancy or knee pain or hip pain, you're going to affect pretty much the joints and the bones and the muscles and tendons and ligaments above and below that area. So if you start to kind of walk with an abnormal gait, such as like the waddling gait you see in pregnancy, you can definitely have some hip pain, whether it's true hip pain coming from the joint, from the outside of the joint, you know, like your greater trochanteric bursa and your gluteal muscles, or even kind of have some knee pain, right? We can kind of call that like a strain on the knee, and then all the way down to the ankle, right? Plantar fasciitis and all that kind of stuff takes effect the more that you kind of alter the way that you put your pressure on your feet and then kind of stride and toe off there.
Yeah, that's one thing I wasn't expecting with, because I'm within range for the weight gain, but every pound you can like feel all over your body with, you know, I feel like more so during pregnancy than I have when I've had natural weight gain through my life.
Yeah. I mean, to kind of like bounce off that, right? So like a lot of the data that we have on like pregnancy, it was like extrapolated from like normal people and then just like kind of skewed to be like, oh, but now this is pregnancy. Like in, like when I counsel people on weight loss for knee pain, we say that about every pound of body fat that you lose is about 4 pounds of pressure off the knee.
Wow.
Right. So now kind of just flip that and make that 4 pounds of weight gain. Right. So 5 pounds is 20 pounds of pressure.
Oh my gosh.
So it's fairly tremendous.
So what you're telling me is after this baby is out and healthy and in the world, I will feel immense pressure off my knees.
Yeah, I mean, more than likely, yeah.
Okay. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. Dr. Bonner, what is the most common complaint that you see as it relates to pain? Is it more so the back or is it another body part?
It's back and just pelvic girdle pain. So that's like the pubic symphysis pain, also the SI joint, and sometimes a little bit of everything. So I would say that's the most common complaint that I see from people.
And for those who might not know, could you just tell us what like the pelvic girdle pain is?
Yeah. So pelvic girdle is basically everything that makes up kind of what's holding in like the bottom of your abdomen. So people can get pain where the pubic bone meets, what Dr. Skura was talking about, the sacroiliac joint. And it can also just radiate like into the perineum, which is that space between the vagina and the rectum, down into the thighs. Sort of some referred pain that goes along with it as well.
For sure. And Dr. Skura, based on all these biomechanical and hormonal changes, when should a patient be concerned that this might not be something normal and could be something maybe not pregnancy related, because you're kind of in this space where it's like, is this my pregnancy or is this, you know, did I twist my knee or something that could be?
Yeah. I mean, probably to kind of generalize that, most things that you're going to feel during your pregnancy are probably pregnancy related in like some capacity, right? So unless like you had like a pre-existing orthopedic concern, like you have a history of like a torn meniscus or like a history of recurrent ankle sprains or hip problems and all that kind of stuff, you know, you can definitely flare up those things during pregnancy just as you could not pregnant. But then, you know, all those orthopedic concerns that you're talking about, if it's during pregnancy, has in one way, shape or form, probably something to do with being pregnant.
Most likely. Yeah. Yeah. Well, but will it dissipate then after pregnancy, or would you then, if someone's coming into the office saying, hey, I'm having these pains, would you refer them to get checked out by an ortho, or would you say wait until, you know, we're past the pregnancy?
Yeah. It depends on their like symptom severity. So if they're just, yeah, I have this low back pain, I'm uncomfortable, but they're management that they're doing at home is okay and they're tolerating it, then I just say, all right, it's normal. But if they're like, I can't get out of bed, I need narcotics, I can't even move, like I can't do my daily life, like that's when it needs a referral to someone else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's zoom in on a few more of the orthopedic conditions that we've already started kind of discussing during pregnancy. We talked about SI joint, but I have actually had random bouts, and I'm praying that it's not going to exacerbate because I'm speaking it into existence, but sciatica. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Skura, can you first explain in a broad definition what sciatica is?
So broad stroke speaking, sciatica is the irritation of the sciatic nerve that comes from pretty much all of the nerve roots, so to speak, out of your low back, right? So all those nerve roots is about five of them. They form one giant nerve. And that kind of travels beyond your buttock and then down the backside of your leg. So that nerve can get irritated anywhere from your low back, such as like a disc herniation, to tightness of the muscles in your glutes, to, you know, just like an injury to the back of your leg. That's, you know, and then that sends this like sharp shooting neuropathic type of pain down your leg, possibly even towards your foot.
Yeah, definitely in the buttocks and down the leg is, it's very obvious when it happens, because as soon as you Google it, it's like, that's definitely sciatica.
Yeah. That's probably like the one medical word that like everybody knows. Yeah.
Probably. But then everybody is like, oh, you have back pain, it must be sciatica. Yep. I'm like, no, it's definitely, it's quite pronounced when it happens. Dr. Bonner, what would you say back pain is most caused by in pregnancy?
Just the shift of the center of gravity, which just increases the lordosis, which is the curvature of the lower spine. So the center of gravity is moving forward and up. So that lower spine is curved more. The pelvis is tilted more anteriorly. So everything can be strained in terms of like, you know, the quads, the hamstrings, all of the pelvic muscles. And then that all can contribute to the lower back pain as well.
And how long after someone gives birth does that start to go back?
It's different for everyone, but usually by the 6-week mark, patients feel pretty back to normal.
That's fantastic news. Yeah. I look forward to that. So there's pelvic pain. We've kind of touched on it. This is probably one of my top symptoms as well. I know when you're pregnant, the pelvis is playing a very important part in supporting the weight of the baby. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Bonner, can you walk us through like a little bit more of what is happening to the pelvis from like pre-pregnancy to like end of pregnancy? Like, is it just opening or?
Yeah. So there's just one increased just pressure on the pelvic. So all of the pelvic musculature that's there, the laxity of the joint spaces can make those joints open up a little bit. So the pubic bone where they meet in the front of the pelvis can open up a little bit. And that's normal. We expect that in pregnancy, but sometimes it opens up way more than we would expect. And patients can get a lot of pain with that and sometimes have a lot of issues with ambulating. That just as the pregnancy increases, just with increased pressure, the increased change in the center of gravity, that just all potentiates that.
And there's no way to know how a woman is going to, like, especially if it's her first pregnancy.
Yeah. I mean, first pregnancy, usually patients will not have something that's very severe like that. However, if you've had multiple back-to-back pregnancies, very large babies, very long labors or long pushing episodes, like that could also have more of a strain on the pelvic floor, we'll say. And that can lead to issues again in a new pregnancy.
Makes sense, for sure. That's why my trainer keeps yelling at me about pelvic floor exercises. There's only so many you can do. Dr. Skura, things that we've talked about, back pain, pelvic pain, do you think there are things like posture, sitting positions, or sleeping positions that can improve these?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just as like in normal life, you know, the way that you kind of carry yourself, the way that you sit in chairs is the way that you deliver the forces pretty much from head to toe. Gravity is a pretty powerful force, right? So like how it affects your body is kind of based on like your day-to-day activities. So like, yeah, if you're like, you're always like kind of like slouched in the chair, right? You're kind of like pushing down on like the bones in your back and stuff that are already kind of being stretched out in a way that your body may not like. So then like, especially like with sleeping, right? Obviously when you're pregnant, you're only supposed to sleep like a little bit like on like that left side a little bit, right? You're not supposed to sleep fully on your back.
It's literally impossible.
It's very difficult. And then like, if you're not used to sleeping that way right now, you know, you can kind of irritate some of like the other tissues in that area too. Right. So it's all very important.
Yeah. Plus you have like four pillows and your arm is going asleep and
an annoying husband lying next to you. Yeah.
No, he's snoring away and I'm just like, okay, must be nice to sleep. If a pregnant woman came to you as a patient, would you, if for like back pain or pelvic pain, would there be specific exercises you would suggest or maybe physical therapy approaches that they can try physical therapy to help stabilize or relieve some of this tension?
Yeah, absolutely. So treat quite a handful, like a pretty big handful of pregnant ladies who have these symptoms, and they respond very well to physical therapy. You know, physical therapy's like goal is to pretty much like strengthen the muscles surrounding a joint that's bothering you for the most part, or like around your pelvic girdle. And as you tone those muscles, you take the pressure off those joints just a little bit, and you kind of let those ligaments like relax a little bit even more, take the pressure off of them. So yeah, it's all for the most part, orthopedic complaints in the pregnant population is a very conservative treatment protocol.
Right.
Topical modalities, ice and heat. And as long as it's like not in like an area around your abdomen, Tylenol like as you need for pain. Really, you're supposed to avoid NSAIDs for the most part,
right?
And then like physical therapy, home exercises, and just like kind of staying as physically active as possible.
Would you say that you recommend physical therapy for your patients?
Yeah, I do refer a lot of patients to physical therapy because it helps them. And sometimes it's hard in pregnancy, you feel a little helpless, there's not a lot you could do. But I think physical therapy definitely has a huge bonus for people.
And I don't know if this is true or not. I've been told this by personal trainers who have no clinical background, that being active during pregnancy and doing these things makes labor and delivery easier.
It can make your labor easier. It could decrease your risk of having a C-section, decrease your risk of having a very large baby, having an operative vaginal delivery, which is like a vacuum or forceps. So if you're doing some physical activity, that can help. And it also can decrease your rate of low back pain as well in pregnancy.
There's actually a whole set of guidelines that came out like every like 8 years or so. It's like the Canadian guidelines. So like in the British Journal of Sports Medicine, they just came out with like a new updated guideline. It's a 2025 Canadian guidelines on like addressing exercise in pregnancy and postpartum. And pretty much it's like just like trying to like rephrase that there's like not like a one size fits all, you know, exercise approach to pregnancy. But pretty much it just like re-highlights that if you're physically active before, during, and even after pregnancy, it like decreases your risk of gestational diabetes, anxiety and depression associated with pregnancy or postpartum, your glycemic control, so like gestational diabetes, blood pressure, musculoskeletal complaints, pelvic floor dysfunction, urinary incontinence. I mean, the list goes on and on. So like exercise before, during, and after pregnancy is like probably like the most powerful thing that you can do as far as like treatment.
I believe it. I believe that 100% because just for the mental health aspect, it has been keeping me level-headed.
Yes.
Let's call it that. With all the hormones and chaos, as my husband would say. If someone was going to work out as, you know, it would be good for them, what would be your like parameters around a woman working out?
So I guess first of all, like a lot of patients are like, oh, I've never worked out before. So that means I can't work out during my pregnancy, which is totally a myth. Like you can totally start an exercise. You can definitely start an exercise program. Should you train for a marathon? No, that's not going to be great. But like you can really do some aerobics. You can do walking. You can run. You can bike. Like as long as you're feeling well. There used to be heart rate guidelines. And it's I think it's really hard for people to just kind of constantly keep an eye on your heart rate, especially if you, I mean, if you have an Apple Watch, great. But like, if you don't have something that's monitoring that, it's hard. So I tell patients, whatever you're doing, as long as you're able to hold a conversation through it, that's a good level. If you're working out so hard that you can't talk, then it's just too much. So that's my recommendation for that. And I also don't want you to do something where you're going to be slamming your body into the ground or other people. Don't like start a martial arts program or a wrestling program or do like a bunch of burpees and slam your belly onto the ground. Those are my general guidelines.
Yeah, just to piggyback off that too, just because I see it all the time in the gym, you see a lady who is obviously pregnant working out with a personal trainer and she's doing like single leg step ups onto a bench. For the most part, you want to try to like decrease your risk of fall, right?
Yeah.
So like, resistance training, all that stuff is like fantastic, but just like try to stay off elevated surfaces, I think is a good rule of thumb.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the very beginning of pregnancy, your uterus is pretty well protected, but once you're getting, you know, once you can see that you're pregnant, it's a lot easier to have a fall.
Oh, yeah. Also your balance. I mean, something I've noticed is I am walking into walls. I mean, I was kind of doing that before, but more so now because of the center, I mean, I've never felt more unbalanced. I stopped doing the Stairmaster probably like a few weeks ago just because that height, I was starting to get a little nervous with, steps. And I was like, nah, I probably shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
So I'll ask both of you this question just about different perspectives about red flags. Are there symptoms that might suggest something more serious like early labor or conditions that need urgent attention that women should be aware of that might be orthopedic or, you know, it could be anything really. What should women be looking for? In terms of like working out or just daily activity?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of just general body pains, if it's, like I said before, like debilitating pain, like you can't move around, you can't get out of bed, that's concerning. If it's associated with a fever, you know, we have to make sure there's not an infection going on that's causing some sort of musculoskeletal issue. If you have a sudden loss of bladder or bowel control, or you have really severe weakness, those things also are red flags. In terms of doing exercise while you're pregnant, as long as you're feeling well during and after, and by well, I mean you're not having to spend 24 hours in bed to recover, then you can continue that program. But if you're contracting regularly during your exercise, if you're having vaginal bleeding, if you're having shortness of breath, those things you need to back off and reevaluate what's going on and seek some medical attention.
That's pretty much, I think, you know, anything that doesn't feel normal, I would probably be slowing down whatever I was doing. So in terms of like, if I'm working out, Dr. Skura, and I'm starting to get what's symptoms of like plantar fasciitis, what would that feel like? Should I be stopping working out if I get these symptoms?
So, I mean, if it's like, the symptom of plantar fasciitis, like, which if you don't know, plantar fasciitis is like pretty much like an irritation of the tissue on the bottom side of your foot. So that could be like this like kind of like tight, sharp type of pain on the underside of your foot. My kind of like rule of thumb in general, like, is if something increases your pain score by more than 2 points, you should probably stop. Right. So like
2 points out of like 10.
10. Okay. Right. So like if you start out and you have no pain and then like you're working out and you're like, oh, like this is like a 2 out of 10 now. It's probably time to like kind of stop, reevaluate what you're doing and kind of like reassess there. But plantar fasciitis, like just changing your footwear, stretching your feet. So plantar fasciitis is very common if your calf muscles get tight. So in pregnant women, right, your center of gravity is more forward. So the muscles in your back, your posterior chain are working even harder to try and keep you up. So they're going to get really tight. So all that gets really tight affects the bottom of your foot. So really just like stretching, changing your footwear, and then probably avoiding like exacerbating activities is the way to go. But if that's like your sole complaint, it's not really like an orthopedic emergency.
And does that also get exacerbated by the weight gain during pregnancy?
Sure. Especially if like you're already predisposed to it from either of those factors or having it prior to pregnancy.
And then women, they swell during pregnancy. So like what would be concerning for like when I should probably slow up if my feet are swelling past a certain point, or?
Yeah, there's not like a level at which you need to stop unless it becomes painful. Like some people just get really, really painful swelling. There's just a lot of it. And if that's so uncomfortable, then you just need to back off. But if swelling goes away after you're resting your legs, you know, maybe taking like a cool shower, then that's definitely an okay thing.
Okay. Yeah. Mine is I take off my shoes and I can see the imprint from my shoes for a while.
Yeah.
Wasn't used to that for a while. And then Dr. Sarah, you mentioned carpal tunnel before. Why is that? Is that something that just comes with pregnancy sometimes?
Yeah. I mean, very, very, you know, very possibly. So like you're just saying, like you hold on to a lot of fluid while you're pregnant, right? Your like blood volume increases, all that kind of stuff goes up. So the more fluid that you have in your tissues, the more you run out of real estate in these little places, such as your carpal tunnel. So the carpal tunnel is pretty much, it's like little canal, so to speak, in your wrist where you have all of the tendons that help you kind of make a fist and flex your fingers. They go through there, but also this very vulnerable little nerve. So as all those tissues kind of swell up, they do okay, but that little nerve gets pushed on and then you get the numbness and tingling that is like classically in your thumb, index, and middle finger. For the most part, it goes away after pregnancy. It may take a couple of weeks as you kind of like get rid of all your fluid, but it's for the most part self-limiting.
That is not one that I've experienced, but I'm going to knock on wood as we say that. I know a lot of women do. Actually, I think it was one of our doctors. I think it might have been Dr. Debkowska that had it. She's actually a hand surgeon and had the carpal tunnel while she was pregnant. when does pain, when pain is a red flag, is it safe to get an x-ray? I've heard so many different mixed things on this, x-rays, MRIs, imaging, because we're getting ultrasounds during pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that is a form of radiology. But is there a trimester that's safer? Can you both kind of add in on this? Like, when would you be telling a patient, and then what would be the precautions for the patient?
Yeah. So in terms of any imaging in pregnancy, we try to stick with things that don't have any kind of radiation involved, like ultrasounds and MRIs, an MRI without contrast. However, if it's necessary to do imaging because it will help with our treatment plan, it is okay to do x-rays. It is okay to do CT scans even. It's just you don't want to do a CT scan every single day of your pregnancy. And the later in the pregnancy you are, the safer it is, I would say. You know, the very beginning weeks of pregnancies when organogenesis is happening, so you could be affected if you're having a really high dose of radiation. But the general studies that you would be getting are way, way, way below the threshold that you would need to meet in pregnancy to have any kind of issues with the pregnancy itself. So like an x-ray is fine. Several x-rays actually in pregnancy can be totally fine.
Because, you know, somebody's in a accident or something happens, they have a fall, they're going to need an x-ray.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like to kind of piggyback off that, x-rays now are like very low dose anyways, for the most part. But most like orthopedic complaints, unless like you're in a trauma, like you were saying, you can diagnose just based off like history and physical. You don't need an x-ray unless like there's a joint that's not moving in the way it's supposed to move, you know, like backwards. But like if you just have like generic run-of-the-mill low back pain without any red flag signs or symptoms, you don't need imaging, right? It's not really going to address the treatment plan. We do imaging if it's going to change the way that we treat you, right? So like I get an MRI if you're going to end up being surgical, or I'm going to do like some kind of crazy injection on you. But for the most part, it's going to be ice, heat, Tylenol, physical therapy, rest, give it time, give it 9 months, you know.
9 months, dang.
but yeah, for the most part, you can kind of get away without.
And then in terms of, we talked about physical therapy already for a lot of, you know, things that can be treated, weight management, posture adjustments. What about acupuncture and prenatal massage?
Yeah.
Do we recommend?
Definitely. I'm a huge fan of doing a little bit of everything for people because it is a little bit of trial and error to find, you know, like one person's method is not going to help everyone else's pain. So for the people who are like, I'm trying the heat, I'm trying the ice, or these things aren't working, I'm like, let's go get a massage, try some acupuncture. And people usually find some relief with that, or relief of just the combination of doing everything.
And acupuncture is perfectly safe.
Yeah, definitely.
And you would, I mean, we have acupuncture here at Seaview, but mm-hmm. would you recommend if a pregnant woman came in with like SI joint pain, would that be something that could possibly help?
Sure. Yeah.
or prenatal massage. We do not offer prenatal massage. But
yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually just learned that prenatal massage is essentially on your side.
Yeah, yeah. It's not.
Doesn't sound.
It's not the best.
I did hear, and I'm not trying to give them a shout out because I have no investment in this particular spa, but the spa up at Crystal Springs has actually prenatal massage where the table has the hole, nice. Which is like, you, that would get my business like that because that's so smart.
Yeah.
So I don't like the word because I know it's the medical word, but postpartum kind of has like a weird connotation with it.
Yeah.
But talking about postpartum musculoskeletal recovery, could you just kind of define what postpartum period is? Give us an overview of like how the body is recovering.
Yeah. So it can be anywhere from 6 to 12 weeks, depending on who creates the definition. But, you know, I'd say it's definitely like another whole trimester. People call it the fourth trimester.
That's what
you
I've are, heard of
that. It's a whole new recovery and it's different. So, you know, I definitely would say that postpartum's in those first 12 weeks. So, but it's, the recovery is going to be different for everyone. And it depends on, did you have a C-section? Did you have a vaginal delivery? Did you have sutures? How deep did your sutures go? You know, it's definitely individualized how quickly people recover and how they feel during that recovery. I have patients that I see a week out for some, like who've had a C-section and they're like, can I start running? I'm like, you need to give it a little bit of time. And then there's people at the 6 week mark that are like, I'm still just really not ready to like return to my normal activity. And it's just different for everyone.
Is that probably have a little bit to do with like pain tolerance as well?
I think so. Yeah. I think just people just recover differently. So definitely.
And then Dr. Skur, if you're seeing someone either during their pregnancy or postpartum, if pain persists beyond this normal, let's call it even fourth trimester, 3 months, whatever it is, what steps would you then be taking? Would this be something that might be beyond the pregnancy and a more chronic issue? Or if it's like SI joint pain or plantar fasciitis, one of the things that may have popped up during their pregnancy.
Yeah. So we know that like really anything that you get during pregnancy can become a chronic problem, whether it's like gestational diabetes or SI joint pain. So one is to try and avoid getting it during pregnancy, right? So like that pre-pregnancy tune up, right? Exercising beforehand and all that kind of 100%. Stuff. But, yeah, like after that, you know, like things kind of like simmer down a little bit and you're still having these symptoms and we can be a little bit more aggressive with our treatment options. Some things depend on if you're like breastfeeding or not and all that kind of stuff. But now you can start to incorporate anti-inflammatory medications, which are pretty powerful for those things. We can start to incorporate different kinds of injections, whether it's a corticosteroid injection or an injectable NSAID or even doing something like prolotherapy or PRP, something along those lines for these problems. Because those treat all of these issues very well.
And we would have been avoiding these things during the pregnancy. So this is something that like opens up treatment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is, we're just going to do a quick lightning round to kind of, I love a name. I'm just going to name everything. Lightning round and quick takes. So quick answers, gut reactions, just say what comes to mind. Dr. Bonner, what is the best sleeping position during third trimester?
During the third trimester, your side will be the best. It doesn't specifically have to be your left side, but your side's just going to be the most comfortable.
See, everyone's left side. I'm like, you can't stay on your left side all the time.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just going to end. And even in the first and second trimester, you really can honestly sleep however you feel comfortable. It's really the third trimester where it should be mainly on the side. And it doesn't have to specifically be the left. You can alternate.
Thank you.
Great myth to dispel.
It is. And honestly, I know like the left side, they say it's because of the
heart. It's supposed to help take some pressure off the inferior vena cava and help return blood flow to the placenta. I always tell people like if you're laying flat on your back and you're nauseous and you're uncomfortable, like then that's time to move.
Literally some nights I'll fall asleep on my left side and wake up with like heartburn that could probably light a fire and I have to turn over because I have no choice.
Exactly. Like, you just have to,
and then I turn over and be comfortable. Dr. Skura, top orthopedic symptom that a pregnant person should not ignore and should probably see an orthopedic surgeon or doctor.
Yeah. So, I mean, loss of bowel or bladder continence, numbness or tingling in between your legs, and then also like sudden onset weakness of your lower extremities.
So why the incontinence?
So, I mean, that's, you know, those are like the signs and symptoms that were associated with like cauda equina syndrome or like something impinging your spinal cord or something not going right in there.
Right.
So that's like something that has to be addressed like as soon as possible.
Okay. Yeah. Good to know. Did not know that one. We said go to safe pain relief in musculoskeletal was Tylenol, right? Mm-hmm. Like from both perspectives, Tylenol would be the go-to. Icing. What about bracing?
Yeah, I do recommend bracing for a lot of people. Just like a regular kind of lower belly band support for the back. But there's also some different like pelvic support ones, like pelvic girdle support. There's something called the V-brace or the V2 supporter. It's kind of like an underwear.
Yes.
And it has like kind of some straps that help. And it, people like it. But there's, you know, it's not going to be great for everyone. It is also trial and error, what works for you and what doesn't.
The thing that I say about braces, kind of by and large, is like go on Amazon, buy four, and then like just like return the one that's not good for you.
No, yeah. That's so true. That's a good point. Are you an advocate for like Kinesio tape?
Yeah, 100%. It supports ligaments, tendons, all that kind of stuff. So anything that you can do to take the pressure off of a ligament or a tendon, go for it.
Because there's a girl at my gym right now who's about 9 months pregnant. I kid you not. Yeah. She puts the Kinesio tape on her belly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's
an idea. You shouldn't leave it on too long, because then like as the longer you leave it on, the more it kind of sticks to your skin. So peeling it off can be a little painful, leave some red marks, all that kind of stuff. So
because of the adhesive. Mm-hmm. In it. Okay.
Yeah.
This will be for both of you. When is too soon to be returning to running, like marathon running or training for like 5Ks postpartum?
I would say it depends on what your delivery was like. Like if you had a vaginal delivery and you didn't have any kind of stitching and you are feeling great, you didn't have any high blood pressure, like if you want to go out running in a couple days, go for it.
I mean, good for you. If you're doing that,
that's like what you want. And I have some people that do want to do that, but not everyone does. But for the other people, like if you've had a C-section, which is major surgery, I do really recommend like the full 6 weeks before you're doing really vigorous physical activity. For vaginal deliveries, if you've had any kind of stitches, takes like close to 3-4 weeks for them to really fully heal up. So I still kind of give the full 6 weeks to say before you're doing more vigorous activity too.
Okay, good to know. And then in your experience with patients that you've had, it's the same for physical
100% activity. Agree. Yeah.
Awesome. And then, okay, this is for both of you. We'll start with Dr. Skura. Number one thing that you wish all pregnant women knew.
So I kind of said it before, like exercise before, during, and after pregnancy. It's like one of the most important things that you can do. Prevents or kind of reduces your risk of a lot of bad things that can happen during and after pregnancy. And it's like the biggest bang for your buck, pretty much like whether you're pregnant or not. So
would there be like one specific type of exercise or really just exercise in general?
So, I mean, you meet like the standards, like outlined by like all like the sports medicine associations, 150 minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity over the course of a week, whether you break that up into 5 30-minute sessions or if you, you know, however you want to kind of space it out for the most part, but get your activity in there and mix between, you know, cardiovascular and then also resistance training. I mean, labor is like probably like one of the most demanding things on like the female body, right? Mm-hmm. So if you want to, you know, you're talking about marathons, if you want to prepare for a marathon, you train ahead of time, right? So this is kind of like the same vein as that.
That's a very good point. And then what would be your number one
the thing? Same exact thing. I tell patients labor is an athletic event.
I like
pregnancy is an athletic event.
It's so true.
Taking care of your kids and is an athletic event. So the more, you know, physically fit that you could be, will help you in the long run.
Awesome. Well, this has been informative for me. If no one else, I've gotten a lot from this episode. No, but I'm sure there'll be a lot of pregnant women who find this information spectacular. If you would like to book appointment with either of the physicians, Dr. Skura is at CVU Orthopedics and Dr. Bonner is at A Woman's Place. That is all the time we have for today. So thank you to our guests. The CVU Ortho podcast is researched and written by the marketing team at CVU Orthopedics and is produced in collaboration with our friends at Chatter Creative. A huge thank you to our listeners. We appreciate your support. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and share it with other ortho enthusiasts or your mama friends and pregnant friends. Stay connected with us. Follow us on Instagram at the CVU Ortho Podcast for updates on upcoming episodes, and like us on Facebook at CVU Ortho for even more orthopedic insights and fun. Get up, get moving, and get back to quality living with CVU Orthopedics.